Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Stoop Kid Podcast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Stoop Kid Podcast, where we're here to connect with people about their accomplishments, experiences, and goals, and build that cheat sheet on life. But it's not just enough that you listen. I need you to like, follow, subscribe, and most importantly, share my shit. Because without doing that, why am I here? I could just be some idiot that's in his garage, talking to himself, trying to make money every month, which is not far from the truth. Today's special guest is none other than Steph. You may have seen her before. You may have heard me talk about her. She's the woman of my life, the better half. How you doing tonight, sweet?
Good. I'm very good, which it makes me laugh because you're not working at your garage, but you're right above it.
It's close enough. I'm trying to paint a picture.
You're actually in a really nice man cave studio thing.
Right. Here to build us back up to reality. You know, tonight it's a special month this month, don't you think? It's not just about spring approaching. It's not about the end of winter. It's not really about St. Patrick's Day, like, because no one cares about Irish people. And by the way, before we get into that, when the fuck was St. Patrick's Day a day to take off? Like, not a day to take off. That's poorly worded because people take it off all the time to get fucked up. But when has it ever been a school holiday as long as you can remember?
Never.
But it is for our children.
Yes.
Or one of our kids. And I think it's just the teachers out there. And I know some teachers, and I don't care. It's a hot take here, but I'm just going to say it. You guys say you work so goddamn hard, but who gets more days off than you motherfuckers? Nobody. Okay? I'm not saying you don't work hard, but you get a lot of fucking time off. So take the good, take the bad, stop crying. But you know what? Enough about crying. We're really here because it's a fun conversation to have, but it's also because it's Women's History Month. This is just, it's one of my more important and favorite months of the year. Mm-hmm. I always make sure I mark my calendars because I always forget about it. I'm just kidding.
That's how important it is.
But the theme for Women's History Month in March, as you may have noticed from my last week's episode, is celebrating women who tell stories. And this theme honors and recognizes the important role that women have played in storytelling throughout history and throughout our own history. And I of course, had some silly things that I wanted to do. So let's go and just dive into top female superheroes.
There's not very many.
I think there's a lot. It's just how you think. Or how resourceful you are, which is kind of funny because that's kind of proving your point. So why don't you go first? Who's your female superhero of choice?
I only have one.
That's fine. I said female superhero of choice.
Gamora.
That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Bastard daughter. Not really. She was taken against her will, like all those children in Russia or Ukraine. She was turned against her own group of people to handle Thanos' dirty work. She's not even the same color. Like, if this was a Maury Povich episode, it's obvious he's not the father, right? Like, it just makes me laugh that there was my God, he's not the dad. It's like, he's fucking purple and she's green.
He openly says that his daughters are adopted.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, when they were growing up. Was he trying to make it, like, obvious, or was he just like, no, I just steal these bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yep.
He's kind of like a intergalactic pimp.
Yeah.
Or a human trafficker is a better way to put it.
Yeah. So, because
species
human trafficking has been something we've been talking about in our normal life.
Yeah.
I was thinking Gamora makes sense. One, she's a woman of color, so hello.
Green.
And then, yes, color green.
St. Patrick's Day.
And she's a badass. and she held a grudge and was simmering on that grudge for her entire life, which is pretty...
most of her adult life, because we don't know how long she's going to... But you're right.
I love being...
Her adolescence. I love
being corrected while I'm telling you why I like her.
Well, I mean, it's not a correction. You're just saying things that aren't...
But anyways, I would say that the runner-up is She-Hulk, but I don't have nothing...
Why do you pick only green people? I feel like you're prejudiced. So far, you've picked two green women.
Well, we're recording on St. Patrick's Day, so it just made sense. That's
a scapegoat. What's your favorite thing about Irish culture? No, exactly. Don't make me feel bad about Women's Month. It's a whole group of people. You just cast it out.
I said nothing.
And that's all you needed to say. Your words are louder.
My silence is louder.
Yeah, your silence is louder.
Now I corrected you.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
How's it feel?
I don't know. I picked a few. I picked three. I don't want to brag, but I did two that are Marvel, and I picked one that wasn't.
Okay.
I did Jean Grey because she's, like, the most strong mutant out of the X-Men. Mm-hmm. She's also, like, love interest to Wolverine, so that's fun. He doesn't win that one, though. Cyclops does. So that's kind of a bittersweet thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Cyclops must be, like, hanging. He must be having a big piece because he just does not seem like a fun guy to be around. Like, Wolverine is unhinged and a little psychotic, but girls like that. Like, if you're buff and you can protect them, I think women can get past the whole psychotic thing. But, like, being a rule follower and a nerd.
Some women like that, too.
I'm saying he's packing a big piece, though. And then they're just like, oh, I can deal with his dorkiness because he's, you know.
That'll end in divorce.
Oh, she'll kill him, though. She's stronger than him. He just got his stupid laser eyes. And then my other one is Storm. Because, dude, she's easily probably one of the coolest ones. Like, first one that probably pops in your mind, right? Female X-Men. Before Jean Grey, even, I would say Storm.
Sure.
Because she's, like, controls the weather. If you can manipulate weather to fuck people up, I think that would be a cool superpower.
Yeah,
and it's very accurate with the woman.
More
emotional,
more powerful than manipulating someone on their emotions.
But that's what I mean. Like it's like poetic in the sense where she's like, don't get her on a bad day. Mm-hmm. She could be a level 3 hurricane or whatever they're called. And then the other one I got because I didn't go too deep. I didn't want to Google and kind of cheat.
I did.
Well, I understand that, but you kind of told me you were gonna like do that. But I wanted to see off the top of my dome because I know Google will give you all these results and then you'll be like, oh, cool. And then you'll have 20 results. But I wanted to see what I could name. So I did Jean Grey Storm and then I did Xena Warrior Princess. What do you think about that one?
I like Xena because there's this one episode I remember watching when I was a kid when she was sitting by a fireplace. And picking lice out of her hair, like one by one. And then there was the sound effect where she would throw the lice into the fire and it would go. And she just kept picking the lice and it throwing in the.
You know, someone had to like do the sound design.
I know.
For that.
I know. I could just imagine them in a studio. Now that I'm educated on how fake everything on TV is, it just makes me think about like what's behind the scenes.
You know what? And behind the scenes, sweet, why don't we go a little behind the scenes and go into the topic you pulled up for us today, which I thought was rather interesting when you mentioned it earlier, because I asked my guests to bring material. I asked them to come prepared. I asked them to wear deodorant. And sometimes none of those things are met. And I'm happy that at least 2/3 of those were met. So how do you want to start this one, sweet?
So I was thinking about, okay, what's something that we had been discussing this week that might be topical and interesting because there are things that we completely disagree on and point of view is so important when it comes to this topic that I thought it'd be interesting, which is basically misconceptions of what it's like to actually work from home, like full-time work from home.
And why did you pick this topic?
Because you pissed me off earlier in the week saying that I need to get out of the house because you think I'm I was grumpy or upset
and stir crazy
because of being in the house.
Well, prove me wrong. You got a list of things to prove me wrong.
Yeah. So there's a big misconception I'm only going to speak for myself. Obviously I don't watch how other people live. I don't see how other people live when they're at home and whatever. But this is now, not like pandemic where everyone was forced to be at home. This is now where it's like, it's a choice to work from home. I think the misconception is like, oh, well, it's pretty easy going. Like, it's not that hard of a day because you're not commuting. You're not having to deal with people in real life. You can just click things off. And like, it's pretty easy because you don't have to do any of the hard work of like getting there. I think that there's a misconception of like, oh yeah, it's pretty easy. All you do is work from home. But in reality, I work more working from home than I did when I worked in an office in Union City. Because in Union City, I would fuck around. We would get free lunch every single day. Mm-hmm. I would pile that plate up like Thanksgiving. And they called it the company name 15. And I don't want to shout them out because fuck them. But they called it that because everyone got free lunch every single day. Every Wednesday morning, someone brought in donuts.
Why is it 15? Because you're going to gain 15?
Yeah, because you're going to gain 15 pounds.
Like that joke?
Yeah. And so I would have the opportunity to just like leave my office and fuck around. But you're there for like 9 hours, maybe 9.5 hours, depending on, you know, when you get there, when you leave. But solid working hours, probably 5.5. But you're there and people can see you.
So you're admitting right now you bullshit for 3 hours.
No, not all the time. That wasn't consistent, right? But I would say there were very easy times where you could fuck around and like no one would know that you're fucking around because you're siloed in your own little office or whatever. And then, So, but when you're working from home, there's like this expectation that you're sitting in front of your desk. You're always available by phone, by email, by Slack, by Zoom call, by like, oh, I'm just going to throw some time on your calendar, 10, 15 minutes here. And then it like stacks. So it's not even, so the oftentimes I'll get on a call and at my new company, people are like, oh, can you give me like a minute? I need a bio break, you know? And I'm like, go right ahead.
Bio break?
Yeah, like a biological
break.
Can't
you just say life break? Why? What is with these people?
Anyway, so everyone's language at work is different, but I'll talk to someone and they'll say, oh, I haven't even went to the bathroom today, or I haven't even drank any water. I've forgotten, or like, oh man, I'm so exhausted with these back-to-back meetings. And it's like, yeah, because you're expected to like be there.
But why can't you just have a bottle of water on the desk you're working at?
You can, but see, here's the thing, right? Like in my role in HR, the amount of adults who behave like children is so high where it's like, you're allowed to say no. You're allowed to eat on camera because, again, if you were in a room,
you could just mute it while you're chewing.
Yeah, you could be like, hey, I'm going to, or like, hey, camera off for me right now because I'm eating lunch.
Or just mute it and then just stuff your fucking face while everyone's talking.
But like, there's this like, there's like different expectations where you have to learn the manner of the way the company operates. And because I'm new to this company, I've started to pick up like, oh, like that's not normal to tell people, oh, hey, you know, like, no, it is normal to say, hey, give me a minute for a bio break. So everyone knows you're taking a leak or you're taking a quick dump and then you're like back on camera and you just came from the bathroom. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if we were in an office and you're running late, you just be like, oh, sorry about that. Like, sorry for running late. You don't have to be like, hey, I just flushed the toilet. Like I had a bio break. Like you wouldn't tell someone that in real life.
Okay, I know you're gonna think this is sidetracking, but when did this bio break thing come in, and when did it step away from being coffee break, 15? What? Why is it bio? I've never heard this.
Yeah, me neither. Like,
is this some new bullshit they're trying to push on us or what?
No, no. I think I've never heard
some woke term.
I've never heard the term before. Like, you're not allowed to say, like, I don't know. It's not.
But doesn't
it
seem
allowed,
pretentious?
But it's more like that's just the language that's being.
No,
used.
I understand that, but that's no different than annoying bougie language people. That, yeah, I mean, that are like, it's a bio break.
I don't know.
It's like, can you just fucking call it a break? Does it really have to be an elected bio? Like, what if you're not, what if you're an android? What if you're fucking AI?
So,
you're not allowed to take a break?
So I've made observations of like, okay, you're an adult. Like being in my role, I repeat myself daily to straight up adult. You are older than me most of the time. Doesn't matter how much older, but they're older than me. But I'm like, you're an adult. You should have the confidence, I would think, at this point in your career, if you're unhappy or something is unacceptable to you, or you need to take care of yourself or your family, you need to fucking feed yourself, drink something, empty your bladder, then you will be like, hey, I'm going to do what's best for me right now because I can't be good for you until I'm good for myself. Like, to me, that's pretty like common sense.
I mean,
but
even
you'd be surprised how many people don't.
But isn't
that
the whole term of wellness break? Wouldn't you say that's a good term?
No, because that term is being overused. And so there are wellness
days. What do you
days.
Mean? What do you there, mean overused? Blah, blah, blah. But see, that's because the companies are giving too many fucking little treats to these people.
They're trying, like just especially, call. Especially for companies who have like remote, a very large work, like remote workforce. Mm-hmm. I think that there's this push of like, oh, we, you know, people are overworked and like we have to consider their well-being and, you know, their wellness and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, listen, we're all here because there's this corporation owned by investors who put a lot of money into shit that people want to buy. They buy at a premium. The investors get their share. It all trickles down to the working people. And we're all just working here to pay our bills so we can go on vacation and do the fun shit that we actually like. Like, I think that the circumstance that occurred last fall, which I don't want to say it, but the circumstance that happened to me last fall completely flipped my mindset where I'm like, even the people that I work with today know my stance. I'm like, I'm not going to be here forever. And
I mean,
that should never ever
You could just
be.
Explain last fall was a job change.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
So anyways,
so give you an idea of what.
Yeah, it was like a job change, job shift, whatever. But the thing about work, I think I shared this with you earlier in the week that I've already experienced professional like wealth, right? And so because I have had that privilege of working in a job where I made a lot of money, young and was able to accomplish a bunch of shit that not a lot of people in that age group could accomplish. I'm privileged to be like, oh yeah, fuck it. Like money is money. Like you're going to earn it, whatever. Right. But I know that there are shades of how a career progresses where I'm like, I can say that because that's my journey and my life experience. But I know that that's not how it is for everybody.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm like, fuck your job, dude. You weren't born on this earth to like work and just work.
No, you're born to survive.
Yeah, you're born to like live your life, and your life is not just work. And so I feel like that mentality when when I've expressed to people at my new job, I'm like, hey, here's my philosophy. It's very easy when it comes to like talent. And working.
I like how
class
they use that
people.
Word talent.
I know. That's another one.
Like, are they though?
Anyway, that's the term. But anyway, so like my philosophy is so simple, right? Like I have a lot of little like catchphrase shit that I like to live by. And one of them is, this is my expectation. Once you get a job, show up to work on time. Do the job that you were hired and agreed to do. Don't cause drama and then leave. That's all. You don't got to come in, shake things up, make, you know, you're not there to make friends. You're there to like do a job, earn money. And if you make friends in the, in, during that time span, like that's a, that's a perk, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not, that shouldn't be an expectation. And I think like working remotely has been harder for me to develop a friendship. And so I'm thankful that I was able to go on site to SoCal to like meet people in person, because then you get to build that like personal rapport that that's impossible over Zoom 100%. But like just do your job. Like the drama that I have to deal with every single day are people who just don't do their job mm-hmm. that they signed up for. Like,
yeah, but work sucks. Like you just said, no but, one wants to but, fucking work.
But there are highly, these are highly paid, highly skilled people, right? Like
think talent. Of,
these are people with skills that are selling their skills to the company.
Think about this though.
To earn a paycheck.
Rain Man had skills.
And then they come to work and they fuck around or they pretend like they know what to do and then don't raise the hand and say, actually, no, I don't know what to do. Can someone help me? They just kind of quietly sit in the background hoping no one notices. But when you're online, everybody and their mom notices.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't fuck around. It's like when you're in the office, you can be looking busy, but you're really creating a Spotify playlist. Nobody can see your screen.
Or looking at porn.
That's a,
that happens that, though. That happens.
That. What? That was
what? What was what?
Having to deal with an employee.
What did you deal with?
Having to deal. This was the most awkward and embarrassing moment of my career. Having to terminate someone because at a 600 employee meeting, company wide meeting, pornography, boom, was shared on the screen. I'm not going to share what it was or anything, but can having I, to can, no.
Can I share what I think it was? My guess is it was gay porn.
I don't know. It was
yeah.
It
I guess
was,
we'll never know. Porn. I'm guessing it was average body type gay porn in a country south of the equator. That's my guess.
So in my whole career, I've never felt so awkward to have to deal with any of that. Like. To deal with the confrontation of talking to a straight up adult again who was hired
not straight maybe
who was hired to do a job
mm-hmm.
fucked around mm-hmm. had other things on the laptop screen during a company wide meeting
yeah
and then me having to be like yo remember 15 minutes ago when you shared accidentally what was on your screen.
Accidentally.
It was some sort of Zoom glitch.
How do we know it wasn't a cry for help?
I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't give a fuck. Like
I'm addicted
like,
to porn.
There's like a professionalism that you have to bring, that you have to present yourself when you're in a group setting. When you're in a smaller team setting or one-on-one with like your manager or whatever, like you can be you. You should be you. That's the beauty of like working with people, right? Like yeah. You're not just faking the funk the entire time. Now, again, varying degrees depending on how long your professional journey has been, mm-hmm. right? But again, for me, I'm like, I'm not going to fuck around. I'm not going to fake the funk. I'm not going to fake it till I make it. Like, that used to be my freaking tagline.
Excuse me.
Ew, dude.
Well, I had a little beer.
But like, but at a certain point, you have to accept that you are an adult. You're a working professional. These are all around you, are all adults, even virtually. And you have a responsibility to bring professionalism to work. And the fact that I had to be like, yo, you're done here. And then the response was not, I mean, the response was not what I was expecting. And I just had to keep repeating, like, basically, you're done here, you know? And it, like, I couldn't help but, like, laugh at the situation, even though I felt like.
It would have been funnier if that person was crying. Like, please, I'll delete all of it. Just let me keep my job.
I've never in my life had to deal with that. It was so awkward.
By the way, I just want to say that day, I thought someone died because I got a call at work and it was like middle of the day. And for the record, Steph never fucking calls me in the day, like, ever.
Like, because I'm working.
No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is when someone never does something and then out of the blue they do it, the first thing you think is someone's dead or in mortal danger.
Right. Like when I get a phone call from the elementary school, I'm always like, fuck work. I mean, like, I'm going to pick this up. Mute, video off, and I pick up the phone. And I'm always like, is he okay? Is everything okay? Like, they've called, I don't know, maybe 4 times. Since he started school.
School is just.
But like the in cases like that, right?
Right.
Like you don't got to apologize. You don't got to be like, oh, I'm so sorry that I've been waiting for this call from the, you know, from a doctor regarding my son. I'm so sorry I had to like drop from the meeting. Like, go ahead, bro. Like, go, like, take care of you. Take care of your own. Who cares about this? Who cares about this 45-minute meeting that could have been a 2-sentence email? Like.
What's your CEO's name? I'm going to cuss him out right now.
No.
Okay. I won't do that.
Professionalism, babe.
I don't have any. I work for myself, not for the man.
Oh, well, is that so?
Well, I got my other gig. Sorry. Hey, but I'm respectful. I never drop that company's name, and I never slander it.
And I won't either because, like, this is a fun forum podcast.
This is a fun forum, but let's be honest. It's fun to bash things, get things off our chest.
Of course.
Within reason, I understand you have to protect your position, so we can move on. Did you get everything off your chest about the venting aspect of that segment?
All I was going to say is, like, do you remember when you were able to work from home beforehand? And it was like...
Do you want me to name what I loved about it?
No.
Because I didn't have a terrible experience like you. I got bored at times. You don't want me to name what I liked about it.
Yeah, you would watch straight up like series of
TV shows. I watched
TV
Magnum PI and This Old House, and it was amazing because I was able to watch and work.
So here's the difference, right?
I don't work in HR. That was a choice.
No. It's not my profession of choice. It's not due to my profession of choice.
Partially because you deal with people.
Yeah, but it's the type of work that. I guess you're right. It is based on profession. But
here's the thing, too. Like, everything you're complaining about, even if you were doing that job in Union City, which you weren't, you would have been overwhelmed there as well in person. Because then you would have had people you can't fucking ignore. They would have been knocking on your office door.
That's the harder part.
That would have fucking sucked because you would not have been able to leave. There'd be some dickhead. Everything's packed up. 2 minutes, you're going to... You probably have to run out the fucking building because someone would be like, oh, I need my tax stuff. Like, dude, you would fucking hate that.
Yeah.
So at least in Zoom, you could ignore an email and be like, sorry, I'm done for the day. I'll answer it tomorrow. But like when someone's there in person, you could do that. But I feel like more likely than not, you're going to be kind of coerced into helping them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Anyway, that was just my little tidbit.
Even though my philosophy is very simple. I know that they're...
Get work, get paid, get laid. Am I right? All right.
Yep, crickets.
Well, hey, some crickets are better. At least the crickets care about my lack of libido. Just kidding. You know, the other thing I was going to go into... did you look into female serial killers much? Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only one I know is Eileen Wuornos.
I don't even know that name.
Oh, she wasn't. Did you Google?
Yeah, I did.
Did you Google? The reason I say that is because she was Charlize Theron's character in the movie Monster.
Oh.
No? Mm-mm. Nothing? Mm-mm. Anyway, who's your serial killer?
So there's two, right?
Oh, wow. So you get one for fucking superheroes. Mm-hmm. No, you did two. You're right. All right. Keep going.
So Lizzie Borden.
Oh, that was a good one.
So Lizzie Borden.
I only know it from the nursery rhyme. Yes. Is that accurate based on the song?
No, it is not.
Oh.
So the nursery rhyme is Lizzie Borden had an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Which, by the way, when you think about it, that's a lot of fucking chops.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's very there would not personal. Be much of a body left.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, yeah, anyways.
An axe.
So she was... 31 years old when that happened, when her parents were found fucking hacked, right? And so the interesting thing, which is why I think she's the most interesting, is everyone and their mom thought that she was guilty, But guess what, bro? She was acquitted. She was acquitted charges.
What era was this? Wasn't this like hell long ago? This was like 1800s, right?
I don't remember the time frame, but it was like hell long ago.
Why would they let a woman off? When do you think they'd burn them on the cross?
So they found burnt, like, that she had burned some of her clothing, right? And so yeah, that's basically what I found as well. But like, she got acquitted of all charges. So now it's just like nobody knows who hacked up.
So was it lack of evidence?
I don't know. I didn't go into it, but just the fact that it was her parents, it was such a personal.
Well, what?
Act.
Okay, if you don't know much, here's the thing. Why did you pick her then?
Because I thought it was so dope that she got acquitted.
Oh, okay. Well, that you didn't say anything.
I said that. I said it was so dope that her parents.
Well, I didn't know that was the reason you picked her, though.
Yeah, I thought that was insane. Like, if they had the technology today to be like your fingerprints.
Oh yeah, she would have been.
Your
fucked.
Blood was found on all of these. You know, your parents' blood were found on the clothes that you burned.
But
in
how
the
progressive of that, like, DA or whoever? Because even, I mean, like, what, 100 years before that or 200 years before that. They were burning women on stakes, accusing them of witchcraft for less than that. We came a long way. Look at that. Thank you, Puritans, for evolving. Acquittals. That must have been, I'm guessing, early 1900s or late 1800s was Lizzie Borden.
I don't remember.
Why don't you go ahead and Google that while I get an Eileen Wuornos. Okay. So I picked Eileen Wuornos, who, like I just said, famously was... Dramatized. Wow.
1892.
Damn, I said late 1800s. I'm good.
She's all right. Really buying it, too.
Yeah, well, Eileen Wuornos ain't no walk in the park. Check that out. Not far off from the makeup that Charlize Theron wore. So, once again, famously popularized in the film Monster, which I still haven't seen. I'm kind of a poser, but I really wanted to bring an edge to this female thing. Scary. Okay, so Eileen Wuornos, born in 1956. Wuornos killed 7 men in Florida between 1989 and 1990. That's not bad. 7 men in a year. Not a bad quota. She shot each of the seven at point-blank range, according to the New York Daily News. She was captured after a minor traffic accident in one of her victims' cars. Then she told the police that she murdered the men in self-defense, because they raped her while she worked as a prostitute. Now, before we even get to the however part of this paragraph, it's kind of hard to argue rape when you're a working woman.
No, it's not.
I think it is. Here's why. You sign a contract, and it's only based on the acts you're going to do and the money they pay you. It's not like, unless she's video recording all these, which I don't think you can do without consent.
What contract are you referring to? The handshake contract?
Yeah. I mean, it's a contract. You're giving someone money for goods and services. So what I'm saying is, it's like you're acting like it's an invoice. Well, no. We didn't say that. We couldn't do that. I'm not saying it's not morally wrong. What I'm saying is I don't know how you would prove that without, like, the forensic evidence, right? Obviously, they can prove it with how beat up your private parts are, but, like, other than that, she could have just been saying that to kill all these men. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but fuck her. Like,
no, I get it.
Fuck her.
Well, they did. But what I'm saying is, like, that's completely the take I'm going with. And it says, however, she was sentenced to death for 6 of the 7 murders. So one of the guys, they were like, yeah, he was a piece of shit. In 2003, a movie about her life titled Monster, starring Charlize Theron, was released. To high praise. Still haven't seen it. I should check it out.
Yeah, you should.
You know what drew me in about her was, like, that's kind of what she was known as. She was the prostitute that said, I've had enough. I just enjoyed the fact that she kind of went like vigilante justice. Because in my heart of hearts, I do think she was probably targeting fucking pieces of shit. Like, Maybe a few of them weren't. Here's what I think, right? Once you kill someone, then you get bloodlust, right? Then you're like, oh, I liked how it felt.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again.
That could be
so
one.
Maybe she got addicted. And then she thought, maybe the first two guys were total pieces of shit, right? But then the other four were probably just guys that, like, were just going to get, they were just, I just want a blowjob. She's like, yeah, well, you're getting more than that tonight. Done.
It actually would have been.
Except it
would
have, like, pop. Because she shot him point blank.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Maybe they were sleeping. Maybe they were mercy kills. God. Did she do them while they were awake?
So
these are important details. So,
okay.
Sweet.
While I was looking this up, right, I was like, okay, Lizzie Borden is interesting. One, she has her own little nursery rhyme, which is kind of cute. And then the other person that I listened to on another podcast recently, because I love true crime, was this girl, little granny girl in Sacramento.
Granny girl?
Yeah, she was a granny.
So an old lady.
Yeah, an old
lady.
Not
a girl.
Whatever. She was a granny in Sacktown. Her name was Dorothea Puente. And she, she did some
Puente
greedy ass shit. She killed, I think, like the same amount of men. But what she did was fucked up. She found men who were down on their luck, lonely, like even some homeless guys. And then she would bring, oh, come into my house. And yeah, you could stay here. She fucking killed them.
Wait, but how did she kill them?
I forget. Like,
that's a very important
poison.
Detail,
I forget what it was. Anyways, she killed them, left them in her house, and then cashed their social security checks so she didn't have to do nothing but just fucking kill these guys and then get paid each month. And then she finally got caught because the community was like, hey, where's homeboy at? The one who's always here. Like, he's hella cool and stuff. And they're, oh, well, you know, he got some housing from Dorothea up in here. And they go look and they find three bodies in her house.
So what did she do with their cars?
You can go to Sacktown and drive and visit her house.
So here's my question. What did she do with their cars and all that shit?
They were homeless. Or they were like, they were like.
Well, how did she get them? She pick them up?
She fucking, like, she tricked them and were like, oh, you're down on
the
luck.
She showed up to their tent. And was like, hey, you're living with me now. So she...
But she probably groomed
them. So she pretty womaned these homeless people into thinking they were going to get a better life.
Yeah. Like,
she Richard Geared them.
She's so, like, oh, like, she's so nice. Oh, wow, she's giving me a shot or whatever. And all she did was freaking collect their like, social security checks and...
The whole pretty woman, like, story is bullshit for both genders.
Yeah.
Look at that.
But the reason why I picked her was interesting because, like,
immigrant mentality.
Because it's greed. Like, I told you this before. The end of humankind will be completely driven by greed. Like, this week, fucking all these banks are all getting closing down, and like people are seeing how people, rich banks and shit, are behaving and stuff. Like, it's greed. All that shit, and then the fucking whatever it was, like, the some C-suite person had sold his shares. It was like fucking a couple $1 million or something like that. Like,
it was Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah, 11 days before the freaking, like, exposure of it. It's like,
but,
bro.
I mean, for the people that don't believe insider trading and all that shit happens, they're complete idiots.
Yeah.
Like, dude, do you know how much shit Jeff Bezos bought right before COVID? He bought, like, stocks and all the shit that we fucking bought up in grocery stores. And people act like that's a fucking coincidence that a billionaire fucking just figured it out, huh?
Yeah.
Rolled the die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we know that.
But you see what I mean? Straight up adults getting paid bank should have just came to work, did their job, but no, they decided to cause drama.
I don't think it's just going to be greed. Can I add one more that I think it's going to be greed and one other thing? Can you guess what I think I'm going to say?
Sex.
No, to end the world? In our existence?
Oh, I thought you meant the downfall.
I wish sex would kill me. That'd be the best way to die.
No, dude, gross.
Dude, are you kidding me? You bust a freaking and then you're dead? That's like falling asleep.
How do you even know that's going to happen in that sequence?
There's two ways. You know what? Good point. Because it would almost be kind of better if you're almost there and then it happened. Because sometimes you finish and you're just like, that didn't happen the way I wanted it to. No, but damn it, I had something to say. Oh yeah, do you know what the other thing that would end? It's going to be greed and one other quality of humankind.
I don't know.
Stupidity. I think that's what it is. Greed and stupidity.
Yeah.
Two worst qualities of humans. Because we're comfortable with it nowadays. See, we used to be insecure about stupidity. We used to think we were inferior. We used to think it was weak, which is true. It is weak, right? You should never think making mistakes is not a weakness. Not learning from your mistakes is a weakness. And stupidity, to me, is closely related to ignorance.
Which reminds me of what I heard recently, that the United States is trying to ban...
Just burp it up.
Is trying to ban... Thank you.
Gas stoves. Excuse me.
They're trying to ban TikTok from the United States.
Oh, because the Chinese are spying on us.
Yes, because the terms and conditions to become a TikTok user allows them to record even your keystrokes on your phone, even when you're not using the app. So it's basically tracking literally everything. And what that's causing, it's not just national security, which is like a big thing, right? But the other part of it is like they're feeding into like the mindset of like purchasing power and like all of these things where America wants to be able to control that. But
right.
Because but see, they've infiltrated.
That's the bullshit because phone. Amazon does that.
Yeah.
Everyone does it here, but because this Chinese group, and here's the thing, I don't even use TikTok.
Me neither.
I know a lot of people say it's good for marketing and I agree with them. I'm not into it. I don't think I'm going to start using it just because I believe it. I do think it's going to be used negatively.
But
and
see,
I think a lot of dumb people use it and are always in it. And like, it's interesting, but it's like, it's too ADD for me. I've gone on TikTok. I've used it. I used it a little bit like a year ago. It's so sporadic. It's like every second you're watching something else. So it's good if you have a short attention span because you can just, you can spend 3 hours watching absolutely nothing, just crap. Instead of like consciously clicking, you're just in a rabbit hole. You're already in the rabbit hole. There's nothing to click. Like I get it. It's immersive in that sense, but it's too much. Like I want to choose my programming. I want to be able to like decide what I want and what, and sometimes when I want to roll the dice, sure, great. But like TikTok is like, it's on all the time. It's like Coke. Like you're just on one and I don't need that. I don't need that.
Yeah. Some people have made an incredible living on it, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, that's where greed.
Whores.
That's where greed dancers. Comes into it, where it's like, oh, I could completely, which I'm not knocking it. Like if that's your jam, then fucking go, right? But I'm just saying,
but just understand, it's not just a weather balloon outside your window.
I'm just saying it's an example of like, this is not just a way to connect, it's a way to monitor and it's a way to basically influence your behavior.
And you know what's funny? There's people out there that think that that's not true, I bet. They're like, oh, no, that's conservative bullshit.
Which I'm on Instagram too, but like I've been an adult for a while where like my maturity level, my emotional maturity level is not the same as like a 12-year-old, right? Or like a 5-year-old who may be looking at TikTok, that it starts developing a perspective of how the world is and how people are, not true.
Well, once again, that's why kids shouldn't be doing this shit anyway, right?
Yeah.
So there's
some
that.
Parents, they put them on there, man, because they use their children to their financial
right,
advantages.
And those are the parents that do weird shit to their kids and beat their children and, like you said, make money off of their kids and then steal their money. It's the oldest.
I just realized that you're wearing your shorts. I thought you were wearing boxer briefs.
No, I'm wearing shorts because it was a little warm today. It was like 68.
Yeah, nice.
Means OU won. Yeah, I think we touched enough on the female serial killers. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find,
but see, like as you're talking about kids, parents using kids and like basically exploiting them, it reminds me of when we were at Target and I see this dude, we're there at a nice neighborhood where Target is.
Yeah. We're at the Livermore Target. Who gives a shit? Just say what it is.
It's like nice there, right? So yeah. it's not like we're in some ghetto place. Anyways, I see this guy come up to you, and I'm like, "Who's this fucking asshole?" I'm like, "Oh, yep. Maybe he's hitting on Cooper."
No, and you know what's funny? She's not being crazy and jealous. I totally got gay vibes from this guy.
So I thought he was hitting on you, right? And so I had my cart. I was gonna go check out the clearance section.
So she let this fucking
with DJ
animal.
I let
you fucking. Way to be a fucking, you know, You just were like, let this gay guy just take my
husband.
Are you
not an adult who's been practicing jujitsu?
Practicing?
For 6 months?
How do you
months?
Know that guy isn't a third degree black belt?
That's
and he's got
true.
Chloroform in his back pocket and a handkerchief.
That's true.
All right.
But you're I like, did not let anything
no,
happen.
No, you know what? You stereotyped him as weak because he's gay.
No, I didn't.
You said, my husband's got this. What if I didn't?
Oh, do
how do you know I
could
beat up every
have,
gay guy in the world?
Should I not have confidence that if you're alone with our son, that you got this and I don't have to be there as
no,
part
I'm giving
of,
you
like,
shit. But I think partially I was like, where the fuck did she go?
Right here, bro. I'm like, hey, I'm going to look at the discount.
Yeah, well, like, guess what? When my attention is, who's this fucking creep and then watch my child, I can't pay attention to you two. That's too many things. That's way too much.
Then you need to choose. I'm going to watch my child and fuck this stranger.
I'm not going to fuck the guy. First of all, we're in a public place. Second of all, that's not my preference. But thank you for the option.
But
I'm glad you let
you
me
are,
do that.
You are, we talked about this. You're polite and you also want to be aware and conscious of how people are behaving
right.
around us.
See, Steph has a good point because she's like, oh yeah. She wasn't criticizing the way I was acting, but I could tell inside she's thinking I'm too nice. But I explained to her why I have the nice approach. Because it doesn't send a red flag to the weirdos.
Yeah, but you even asked me, oh, do I look intimidating?
Yeah,
but, no, you look like a fucking
yeah,
friendly,
well,
googly-eyed white man.
Yeah,
very
but,
approachable.
But that's not what I'm saying. And I don't know what I look like because how the fuck am I going to see what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a fucking video camera around me all the time. But what I'm saying is, like, I take the nice approach because it allows me to kind of be coy and it allows me to back off a little because they let their guard down and then I can kind of see what they're doing. It's like a poker thing.
Which is fine when you're alone, but when you got a 5-year-old with you, that's when it's like, I'm going to hold on to you. You need to be right here. You got to be holding
okay,
on to
I
my jacket.
I did not do that.
Yeah, I know.
This but, I walked away, but somehow has a fucking play-by-play of what I did.
So,
you weren't
no,
even near
no,
me.
I know.
But now
but
you're
when
telling
I was there,
me
I couldn't see. Like, I had a really, I got a really tight feeling in my chest. Like, oh, something's wrong.
So should I explain since I got all the firsthand experience?
Yeah, sure.
So some guy approaches me, says, hey, man, I really like your North Face jacket. Oh, no, I really like your jacket. Where'd you get it? And I guess, you know, you can't really tell it's North Face unless you look at the front. So clearly he was checking out my ass, which, by the way, I've been working.
You don't have an ass anymore.
I've been working. You know what? I've been working on it. I've been doing some Hindu squats.
No, you have not.
Yes, I do. I do them in the garage every three times a week.
Okay, fine.
I do 25 swings. You don't know my life. And so he's checking out my ass, and he said, hey there. No, he said, hey, I like your jacket. So I said, hey, yeah, I got it at North Face at the outlets right down the street, and I was hoping it would just be like, oh, cool, and then it would go away. And then I just saw his eyes light up, like he did not expect me to respond, which was weird, but I wasn't like, okay. You know, I mean, because here's the thing, like just because you're getting a vibe that someone wants to fuck you doesn't mean you should be dismissive and be like, that's rude. I'm like, I was a little flattered. You know, he wasn't an attractive guy by any means, but it's nice to be wanted, right, sweet? So, no, I'm just
you're
kidding.
You're not, like, you're that perspective is so different than a woman who would be like,
I'm not
yeah.
a woman.
Yeah,
who cares?
I know, but,
but
it's just
like, what I'm saying
mind-boggling
is,
to
no,
me.
No, I'm joking. But what I'm saying is, like, I'm kind of like, I don't know what this guy's intentions are. So I'm kind of like, I'm just feeling him out, right? But then he just kind of started talking about nothing. And that's when I was like, this motherfucker's, like, trying to do something. I don't yeah. like it. So, like, the whole point that you were trying to say was, like, we can't talk to people that are trying to distract us from our kids, which doesn't work because we're not distracted from our kids. We're good. But I could see why that works on some people that are like parents that just pay attention to their fucking phones or are constantly so overwhelmed with their kids that they'll let them run around a store. So people like that, yeah, I could see why that's bad. But like, I don't know, dude, I got a weird vibe, but like I told you the vibe I got later. Like, and it was, and I was stoned, and you know, you get like these deep, like emotional vibe things, mm-hmm. but I trust them and I know they sound crazy, but like the way the guy was smiling at me wasn't in like a way that's like, oh, this is a good conversation or you're a wholesome person. It was like, I want to do something bad. Like, it just, it felt like,
yeah, like he
menacing.
Got you.
It felt menacing. You, right? Yeah, yeah. Like, exactly. Like, there's something happening that I'm not seeing, and he's happy that it's working kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's paranoia. But I don't, I mean, either way, I'd rather play into my paranoia than be this idiot. So then we kind of got into this thing where we're like, these motherfuckers are just trying to distract you. And like, we know about this, like people distract parents and then steal the kids. And so I thought it would be an interesting topic today would be to go over some child abduction safety tips and just kind of educate our listeners, you know, because not everyone has kids. Some of our listeners might be aunts and nephews, you know, maybe their grandparents, but it's good to know like safety tips for your loved ones, you know, or just something you can share with parents that you're close to.
I wanted to say something too, because I brought the boys to the playground nearby and this little girl, I don't know, she's like 7 or 8 years old anyways. I know she's there with her fucking family or like an adult guardian or something. And we're at the sand pit and she goes,
sand pit.
I'm lost. I can't find my mother. Can you help me? Like as if it was scripted, right? And I just said that, like, I just looked at her cause I had both eyes on the boys and I just looked at her. I was like, okay.
But you know what?
And then she her dumb ass repeated herself. I'm lost. Can you help me? I can't find my mother. Like fucking scripted, right? I'm all, bitch, you. I didn't say this to her because I'm like. Because
she's 7.
Because she's like 7 years old. But I'm all.
That's good.
I'm all, go ahead. Go ahead. Try to fucking ask me for help. I'm not going to help your ass. Now I have two children.
Right. And that's fair. And I like that you're like that because some people will be like, well, that's insensitive. But no, it's not.
I'm like, what are you trying to do? Trick me?
Here's what I'd say. What if she really was trying to get help? No. I'm not saying you're wrong. But what I'm saying is, how do you know? How do you know this kid isn't?
So there's, yes, I agree.
What was the thing that made you say, she doesn't need my help?
My gut.
No,
was
I know,
like,
but like physically, besides the gut.
Because her demeanor.
I'm just saying,
demeanor,
like, was there any other adults around?
Yeah, there was many adults around watching their kids. I can't really pinpoint who.
But she didn't look panicked.
Because
a kid would be distraught. Nervous. A kid would be distraught.
She wasn't panicking. Her delivery of her like request was so
right,
smooth,
like robotic
and scripted and robotic. Where so, I was like,
have you ever gotten lost from your mom like when you were a kid?
Yeah.
You were crying probably, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So
she
was
not in danger.
Exactly. Okay. So I hear you. I'm not saying you're insensitive. But I was just kind of trying to dissect the situation.
And guess what, right? Because I had my freaking side eye intuition on her the whole time. Because I'm like, all right, let's see if she's going to like try to tell other adults here. Like, oh, I can't find my mom. It's like, pfft. So I was watching her and then I see this old lady, which had to be her grandma because the grandma was with the littler one playing like that was like much smaller that if she had fallen or whatever, then she could maybe help.
Right.
Which is grandma saw that Champ almost slipped using that little excavator thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, be careful, be careful. And I was like, I gave her a look like, he's fine. You don't have to say that. He's fine. And I'm like, that's a thing about like being a parent. I'm not going to parent your kid. If there is a child in danger.
I mean, direct danger.
If a child is in direct danger and they're not mine. Right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to, like.
You don't have a responsibility,
no, I don't.
But I think I would react. I would act. Like, not like that. Not like you're going to fall off a fucking playset. But
Champ,
I'm saying if there
Champ
was a kid
fallen,
that was going to run into the street, I would stop the kid.
Oh,
even
yeah.
if I didn't know the
yes.
kid, I would,
yes.
would stop, try and stop the kid.
Yes. But so Champ slipped, right? His foot slipped and he kind of fell on the ground.
Yeah.
And then when she's like, oh, don't be careful, be careful.
I mean, but she's a grandma.
But
you know,
she was a grandma.
Are.
And I was
they
like, and I was like, you know, protective I am. I'm just like, don't fucking talk to my child. Like, watch your own children. And so that lady, that old grandma lady, I see her go up to that little 7-year-old who's still in the sand pit.
Right.
And she must have told grandma, like, oh, I said that I was lost. And so the grandma takes her ball cap out of her head and starts smacking the girl in the, like, why did you do that? Why are you saying that? And, like repeatedly, like, not hard, but just, like, kind of, like, scolding, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, see, bitch? You're not here alone? Like, don't be fucking saying that shit. That's dumb. Yeah. Like, that will put you in danger as a child.
But you see, and like, there's even, like you said, like, even some of the kids sometimes are in on it.
Dude, I tell Champ and DJ all the time. I'm like, it's not safe for me to be on my phone when we're at a playground.
Also, completely agree. And that's number one. But also, you're not being a fucking, you're not present. You know, you're not like, why did you go to the playground? Oh, because I have to fucking go. That's the attitude you give off when you're on your phone the whole time when your kids are playing. No one's always having fun when their kids are playing. That's why you try and find something, a fun way to interact with them with when you're out there. Or maybe you just take a gummy. Take a smoke off something real quick and bring yourself back to that fun age where you just wanted to frolic in the grass and scrape your knees on tan bark, you know? Because sometimes when you're in adult mode, you can't. But that's why you got to fucking break off and just say, you know what? It's playground time.
But that's why I zone out as much as the rest of the world does on social media, on Insta, on Pinterest, on like dumb shit that I shouldn't be, you know, like.
Yeah, but everyone, it's garbage.
Yeah, it's just garbage.
But here's the thing. You need to decompress. Yeah. You're decompressing.
But dude, I was like, don't even. And I would never like. Anyways. The one thing that my parents taught me, or at least my mom would repeat to me, is that if I ever got lost, to go to a mom who
and
has
even
kids.
Then, that's not even a good advice nowadays.
Yeah, so.
But I guess it's better
it's
than
better,
shit,
right?
But.
It's better, but then. Yeah.
But now, what if she's just
like
a fucking,
find a
like,
police
a
officer
pimp?
Or, you know, or, like, go to, I don't know, go to a go to a Starbucks and talk to the person behind the counter, you know, like,
yeah,
like what would they
that's
do?
That's not good advice. So I wanted to get into the realities of child abduction, right? So most kids that are reported missing have run away, or there's been a misunderstanding with their parents about where they're supposed to be. So there's that. Of the kids and teens who are truly abducted, most are taken by a family member or an acquaintance. And 25% of kids are taken by strangers.
That's a big percentage.
That's a big percentage, but 75% of them are family members.
Are known, I know.
So that's a bigger percentage. Almost all kids kidnapped by strangers are taken by men. And about 2/3 of stranger abductions involve female children. So there you go. 66% at least are girls. Most abducted kids are in their teens, and kids are rarely abducted from school grounds. Makes sense, because it's just way too much traffic. And there's, I don't trust the parents at the school we go to react. Like, I was walking back from dropping Champ off, and I heard one of the dads having a very, like, colorful conversation with another dad. And I overheard what he was saying, and it didn't creep me out, but I could see how someone else would be very creeped out by what he was saying, because I didn't quite understand what he was referring to. But I heard him basically say, like, if some guy had a knife, I would fight him off. I don't care if I get stabbed. I'd rather get stabbed than my wife and kids get stabbed. You know, I was just walking by, and I'm like, wow, this is a very, very deep conversation for 8 a.m. But nonetheless, I was like, in my head, I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Kind of, I mean, like, I hope you're not just talking to look cool, but, you know, I respect that. Fuck it, because I feel the same way. I'd get stabbed 40 times, 41 times, I guess, if it was Lizzie Borden. For my family, I don't give a fuck. Treat me like fucking Edward James Olmos in American Me. Without the butt stuff, though. I'm not into that. But yeah, so, you know. About 2,100 missing children reports are filed
each. That's so depressing.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is not a fun conversation. Let's just end the podcast. It's depressing. All right. Let's just wrap it up. We can't talk about shit. You talked about getting men murdered, but we can't fucking talk about it. This is what bothers me about America. Now I'm on a tangent. Now, it's Women's History Month. Riddle me this, Batman. women are hate violence, hate shit like this. And I am stereotyping. Maybe they don't. But what is with this fucking obsession with true crime? It is the most terrifying and real. It's real, you know, but you can't watch a horror movie. Right. That's loosely based on reality.
Right.
But you can watch documented evidence about shit that happened. That's real. Mm-hmm. And they won't give you nightmares.
No, they have.
But you choose to do it electively. Mm-hmm. See, I don't get that. So I agree with you. This is depressing. But don't worry. It won't last long. About 2,100 missing children reports are filed each day in the U.S. Many cases can be solved more easily when parents can provide key information about their kids, like height, weight, eye color, and a clear recent photo. Now, you know what's funny about this? It sounds like, oh, you should know all this about your kids. I could tell you ballpark how much our kids weigh.
Exactly.
I don't know how exactly how much they weigh, and I don't know exactly how tall they are.
Tall is a little bit different.
But that's what I mean. Like, these are details that you can't overlook.
Because we just discovered that Champ needs new shoes. Like,
no,
damn,
but what I'm saying is it sounds like you're a shitty parent when you aren't. Because it's like, unless you're measuring your children every week and weighing them all the time, you probably might not know all these things to a T. So don't beat yourself up.
But a clear recent photo, that's easy.
No. But I wasn't arguing about that. Make sure custody documents are in order. You know, that's a big deal for some of my parents out there that, you know, this might not be your first family. Have ID-like photos taken of your kids every 6 months and have them fingerprinted. That's a little much. But it's cool. I guess it's good. But I'm not willing to do that. Many local police departments sponsor fingerprinting programs. Okay. Keep your kids' medical and dental records up to date. Okay. Make online safety a priority. This is good for us because we already limit our children tablet time. They don't even have like a browser. They got these kid tablets. And some of the kid stuff is creepier than the shit that we don't want them to watch. And then set boundaries about places your kids go. Supervise them in places like malls, movie theaters, parks, public bathrooms, or while fundraising door to door. Yeah, that's a thing of the past. Never leave your kids alone in a car or stroller even for a minute. Now, I know a lot of this is really easy for us, right? Choose caregivers, babysitters, childcare providers, and nannies carefully and check their references. Okay. Avoid dressing your kids in clothing with their names on it. That is smart. Because the minute a pedophile is like, oh, I know your name. You know what I mean? And it's just like, there, you're fucked. Or you could be like the chipmunks and you could like just put the first letter, you know? I mean, even that's too much. But here's things you can teach your kids to do. This is more for the kids, because the kids, it's not just all preparedness for the adults. The kids need to be ready because we're not around all the time. So we need to make sure that we're not scaring our children, but we're preparing them to be prepared. So, teach them to never accept candy or gifts from a stranger. I mean, shit, that's one of the oldest adages in the world. Never go anywhere with a stranger, even if it sounds like fun. Predators can lure kids with questions like, can you help me find my lost puppy? Oh, that's a good one. Because how many kids would be like, yeah. Or, do you want to see some cute kittens in my car? Yeah. Well, first of all, you're not supposed to keep cats in the car. Okay. So that's a red flag, little Billy. Run away and scream if someone follows them or tries to force them into a car. Say no to anyone who tries to make them do something you've said is wrong or touch them in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable.
All right.
There was some interesting things, though, that I wanted to go over. Like, develop code words for caregivers other than mom or dad, and remind your kids never to tell anyone the code word. I think that's smart. This is good, too. I mean, if your kids are old enough to stay home alone, I mean, I know a lot of parents that have older kids, you know, just make sure they always keep the damn door locked and never tell anyone who knocks or calls that they are home alone. Yeah, that's my mom's not home. Never say that. Let me get. You know, if you answer the phone, little Billy, that I know you're listening right now. If you answer the phone and mommy and daddy aren't home, you just got to be like, just hang up. I'd rather my kid hang up on anybody than tell them they were home alone, including my boss, including the IRS. Now, there was some interesting stuff that goes over if your child is abducted. I think this is really useful because this could happen to someone. You know, if your child is abducted, the first few hours are the most critical in missing child cases. So it's important to contact your local police and give them information about your child. Someone to like what we were talking about, their height, their weight, their eye color, the clothes they were wearing that day. This is all very important. Birthmarks, stuff like that. They'll ask you for a recent picture of your child, what your child was wearing, and details about when and where you last saw them. You can ask that your child's case can be entered into the National Crime and Information Center, the NCIC, other clearinghouses such as the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children can offer information and support during your search. And then after notifying the authorities, try to stay calm. You'll be able to remember details about your child's appearance more easily if you do. That's probably the worst advice on there because how the fuck do you stay calm? But see, these are the reasons why you never want to get to that last section I just shared, because I feel like 90% of these cases could have been prevented. And maybe I'm an insensitive piece of shit, but I really feel like if you're present and you make sure that you're taking your child's safety and your family's safety as your main priority, then I don't see how you could slip up so poorly. You know, and why roll the dice on something like that? Just make sure you got your ducks in a row. It's like, it's easy. Like when we go, the first thing we do is make sure the kids are safe. Then we roll into the store. First thing we do when we get into the car is load the kids in. And then we load everything else. You know, it's just, you got to think on a level that's like if you're protecting something that's so valuable, then that's what you're protecting. Like these guys in armored trucks, they're not just like walking around with Ziploc bags of money. They got a piece on them. They got a backup guy with a rifle, and they're inside a fucking truck that could take fucking rounds and rounds of bullets and maybe even explosions. So, I mean, that's just to protect their assets. So it's like, as parents, you know, you don't need to be driving around in a Brinks truck, but you need to make sure, like, you fucking, you know, you're, even sometimes when we're stopped in traffic, I'm like looking around, you know, like luckily we live in a nice area, but like, man, if we lived in Oakland, like, I don't know if you heard about this, but there were motherfuckers get robbed on red lights out there over on Fruitvale and International. Like they have people block intersections and these motherfuckers just come to your car and rob you. You got nowhere to go. Cops can't even get to you. Genius. But see, that shit's scary because what if you got your kids in the car? You know, and then what do you do?
Like all those people.
So it's like, once again, it's like you don't always have a choice, but it's just like try and be as best as you can. You know, you can't choose where you live all the time. I understand that. But you do know the areas to avoid. And maybe if you don't live in a great area, maybe just drive 10 miles and grocery shop a little somewhere a little nicer. I mean, you know, I mean, there are options out there. You might spend another $3 on gas, but you know what? That peace of mind is probably worth every penny. And you know, this is a pretty depressing subject. So what music have you been listening to lately? End it on that note. What's your top band this week? Don't think too hard. Just throw something out there.
I haven't really been listening to any music. It's mostly been podcasts.
All right. Well, what's your top podcast this week that you've been listening to?
There's this one podcast. It's called Letters from Sing Sing.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty cool.
And that's the infamous prison in New York.
Yeah. But it's interesting because it's a guy who says that he's been wrongly accused and sentenced for murder, but all the evidence and witnesses don't point to him. And so that's
so are they thinking he's like a fall guy for someone else?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like the actual gang members were like, oh, let's just, you know, point authorities into his direction because
That's part of being in a gang sometimes. Sometimes you gotta do the crime for someone else. Do the time for someone else.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I think what I like about the true crime, it's gotta be told in a way where it's not
Keith, what's his name?
Keith Morrison,
your favorite.
I know.
Your celebrity crush.
He's not my celebrity crush, but like the way that he does storytelling, I know it annoys a lot of people, but it's entertaining to me because of the way that the story is structured. So it asks you very obvious questions. But the part that I like about mystery novels is that I try, or like mystery movies or crime movies, is I try to solve it, right? And like, especially in Ashley Flowers' book, what is it called? See, now I can't remember. But anyways, she's the Crime Junkie podcast host who wrote like a fictional true crime book. And the entire time, I'm like, I have all the evidence in front of me, chapter by chapter, page by page. I'm trying to figure out who the killer is. Completely got it wrong. And I was like, damn. And so the ones that I stopped listening to, or that if at the beginning of an episode it says like, oh, there's like there's harm to a child that occurs in the episode, I skip it.
Yeah,
like I can't do it. But the
that's fair.
So the funny ones I would say that I think are funny is that when someone dies because they're a dumbass, like.
Right.
Because they did something hella dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And they got caught up.
Well, I mean, think of the show A Thousand Ways to Die. I think it was on the air for 4 years, and it was literally all about that.
Yeah.
People either doing embarrassing things or just stupid things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also enjoy that.
But what I listen to is, what I listen to at work, it's not really like a band that I listen to.
You listen to like a playlist of...
I listen ambient to Lo-Fi Girl.
So it's just lo-fi, like,
yeah, it's called study lo-fi.
Yeah.
And then I can get work done.
It's
like
J. Cole. It's
so
just like
fast.
J. Dilla beats for 12 hours, basically.
For more than 12 hours. Yeah. Crazy. But that's what I can listen to. It's relaxing.
Yeah. I like it. Are you going to ask me what I've been listening to lately, or is this just a one-sided conversation?
I knew you. It was coming. So.
Well, I had to ask you to ask me, but.
What have you been listening to?
Oh, nice that you asked. You know what? I've been, you know me, I listen to a lot of metal. I've been listening to newer metal. But you know what I decided to listen to last night, which was totally different for me? I decided to go on the country section of Spotify. And I was like, you know what? Let's check it out. I talk all this shit about these pop country artists, the newer guys. You know, it's like, oh, I only listen to outlaw country. And you know what? Outlaw country's badass. But classic rock's badass. It doesn't mean I don't listen to newer rock, right? So I was like, let's give this a shot. I started listening to it, and yeah, I was smoking. So part of, I will say this, when you're smoking, you get high, you're a little more open and accepting to music. You kind of just vibe, so it's kind of nice. But then sometimes, like, when you're sober, you're like, why did I like that, you know? So, but I was like, I was listening to this, and it was kind of in the background, and I was like, this is cool. And then a Carrie Underwood song came on, and I really like Carrie Underwood, but I only really know her for like her fucking, I'm a poser. I only know her for like her top 40 hits and all that shit. But I'm like, let's check out some of her other songs. Wow, man, I was blown away. Really good stuff. Super pop country. I think it's because she's attractive. It makes it easier for me to get into it too. Like, because Miranda Lambert, I could not get into her. She has a very square face. Mm-hmm. No matter how skinny that neck is, she's got like a Lego head, you know? It's, mm-hmm. Ugh. Blake Shelton made the right move going with Gwen Stefani. God damn, he made a right move on that one.
She
talk about upgrade.
Him, so.
Lambert cheated on him?
No, not
Gwen Stefani cheated on him?
No. So, yeah, no, Dogface did.
Yeah. That's,
yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, normally when guys, you know, I mean, he's a good-looking guy. Clearly he was the belle of the ball between the two of them. But, like, not anymore. Now, Gwen, which, by the way, I think she's in her fucking 40s or almost 50 years old. She's not looked that old. And I don't think she looks like she's had a lot of work
done.
What
bunny? Because we've been watching
Mayor of Kingstown. Shout out to Herman, by the way,
what
James.
What money can buy.
Yeah, but what I mean is even with some of these rich people, they have very poor cosmetic surgery scars, and it always catches up to them. And I'm just pleasantly surprised that she's either taking her collagen or whatever the fuck she's doing, but she looks naturally good, and that's a good thing because once celebrities start getting in their 50s, then they start getting like, okay, are you going to start getting old or are you going to start getting scary? Because like, you know, Ray Liotta, right before he died, man, it's just that man was so handsome his whole life. And then just the last 10 years was just, I mean, once he started doing Chantix commercials, it was just so fucking brutal.
It's like he was wearing a mask of himself.
Yeah, and exactly. That's a great way to put it because it almost reminded me of when the singer of Ghost had the human mask. Anyway, it just was weird. So yeah, I was listening to some country, I don't know. Every night I try and listen to something different. Lately though, I guess I've been listening to metal. That doesn't count because I'm just a metalhead, but I guess the two things I've been spinning this week a lot was Schoolboy Q and some random country music.
The only song that this week that I was jamming to, I had a weird week at work. And I was thinking to myself, you know, is it that bad if we were poor? It's like, so I don't have to work anymore, and we could just be poor.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have free time.
Yeah.
Or it would just be around like a cold fireplace that has no wood in it, and you're just sad. Sorry, kids, can't keep the house warm tonight.
I know, but I was thinking earlier, but like,
more money, more problems. No. What?
I can't pay my rent.
Oh, big timers.
All my money spent.
Is it because we saw that fucking dumbass car?
Dude, no. So on that, the 25s? No. So when we saw that car, it reminded me of that. But no, I was in such a mood. I repeated big timers like probably three times. I was in such a mood. I'm like, why? Why do we even work? Like, why do we even need to be here? We could live in some cheap ass place right now. We don't have to be. Don't have to be here. We don't have to have a big house. We could live simply. Like we don't have to make that much money. Let's just get out of here.
Big timers was Birdman and who's the other guy?
I don't know. Yeah, I could take a guess. In my new E class.
I know, I feel lame. Big timers, American musical duo. Manny Fresh? That sounds right.
What was funny is I never really listened to the words, you know, like growing up when I would listen to
songs and you didn't get it.
But like what's funny is you know, Spotify shows the lyrics. Yeah. And I was trying to sing it and I was like, thank God nobody's home right now to witness the fucking atrocity of me trying to sing this song.
I mean, they're not singers. You could pull it off.
No,
you're just not street.
I know. I was so embarrassed.
I listen to Schoolboy Q. I'm not
so
a fucking Crip.
I'm so embarrassed for myself.
I'm not a rolling 50 Crip, sweet, but I listen to their music. I don't know. I do want to learn how to sea walk.
Oh, God. Okay, I have a question for you.
What?
What is something that you felt most proud of this week?
Something I felt most proud of this week. Mm-hmm. It's related to jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
I was very consistent this week. That's not the main thing I was proud of, but that helped play into what I was proud of. But I felt more in control of my choices and the way my body moved this week, unlike any other week that I've done jiu-jitsu. Nice. I feel like I'm a lot more methodical with what I'm doing. I feel like when I make mistakes, I'm aware of them, which is good because sometimes when I was first starting out, I would fuck up and they would tell me. The only reason I knew I fucked up was because I couldn't breathe. But now before I even get to the choke, I'm like, oh shit, I'm setting it up. It's like something will hit me in the brain and be like, don't do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's good. And I'm glad I'm hearing that voice more. Which Paul was right, because Paul said, when you're using our stuff and as you progress, you're going to hear your coach's voices. So I always hear Paul and Jeff telling me what to do in my head. Yeah. But I love it because every week I'm getting my ass kicked. Like it's not about winning. It's weird. It's very weird. It's more about learning how to lose and how to not lose. Because when you're in an environment that's controlled, it's all about losing, because this is the only time you can lose and not die. So it's like, how can I learn from these fucking dumb choices without dying? Well, go to fucking do a martial art, because that's what it's teaching you, is how not to die. So I didn't die pretty well this week, and I was happy with the compliments I was getting. I really feel like we're getting a crew together down there at Mountain House, to the point now where we're almost like hitting each other up and deciding when we're all going to go to another spot. And it's only a matter of time before we start doing hunting trips and fishing trips. I mean, I can already see it.
Oh, that's adorable.
But the cool thing is I really want to start, you know, building these important relationships with people, because this is probably the time of our lives we're going to look back and miss. I think these are the glory days. You know, I mean, I'm always thinking into the future. I'm always thinking into the past. But now I'm like, oh, no. This the 30s. These are our glory days. This is when we can still pick up shit and not completely have lower back pain. This is when the kids are still young and love us. This is when, you know, our hair isn't completely falling out or gray. So, I mean, this is probably the one of the best parts of our life. Like, we're going to look back and be like, damn, that was a good 10 years, you know? So that's why I'm really trying to just soak it all in. Enjoy the journey that is my 30s, even though I constantly have to remind myself to, like, focus on certain things and not just everything that's bothering me. Because I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I things get to me, and sometimes it's hard to move on. But that's also what jiu-jitsu is teaching me, is how to file away the bullshit and deal with what you're dealing with in the now, which is either danger or something you want to deal with. I think the aspects of jiu-jitsu or any martial art can be applied to anything you do, not just survival, but social interactions. Because, yeah, I'm going to kind of go on a spiel, but like, when you're rolling or sparring with someone, it's very fluid. It's like, it's very yin yang, right? That's the whole point, right? A perfect spar is, it's like tic-tac-toe. If everyone's doing their part, it's just going to be a stalemate until someone makes a mistake and they capitalize on it. So just like in real life, it kind of teaches you like conversation. It's like, let people speak, know when to speak, know how to engage, know how to support. You know, it's all very useful, like, skills that you're learning that you can apply to everything. But it's nice, because I like to take these skills and dice them up and put together a toolkit for myself, kind of like the whole point of this podcast, which is to put together this cheat sheet on life, right? So this is helping me put my cheat sheet together. And yeah, that's what I'm most proud of. That was a really long explanation, but there was the answer.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I like it a lot. And you know what? You know what else I like? I like how I'm feeling physically. You know, I can look in the mirror and not throw up.
You've never done that.
I know, but sometimes I'm like, woof. How could this mound of human have two children? Why would this woman let me climb up on top of her and do those terrible things that I did?
You're very
at least
lucky.
Twice. At least twice.
You're right? Very lucky.
I am. But you know what? I'm going to keep my luck up, and that's why I'm working out. Trying to stay fit, because we all know those T levels are dropping. You know, but hey, it's been a good journey. I have high hopes for the end of the year as far as potentially moving up. And I'm not gonna jinx myself. I'll get there when I get there, but I feel like my consistency has been showing. I think I've been feeling my improvement, And I'm one step closer to the edge, and I'm not about to break. Sweet.
So I love that. Thank you for answering. Such a nice way to end the chat. But I wanted to say something that I thought was really important.
Yeah.
Because it's Women's History Month.
Yes.
I think there's an importance to keep certain months, not like National Ice Cream Day or whatever.
Yeah.
But like certain months and days, holidays, keep them special.
Mm-hmm.
And like use those like holidays, no matter how silly they are, to like enjoy them as they are. Because if you think about, oh, Mother's Day is bullshit, every day should be Mother's Day. No, bitch, you don't fucking treat every day like Mother's Day. That's why it's special. Because
Father's Day is bullshit, though.
It's one time a year. But it's kind of the same concept. Like, oh, well, why should we celebrate Valentine's Day? Every day should be treated. No, bitch.
No, I agree.
You don't treat it like that.
No. That was a terrible example. Valentine's Day is the opposite of what you're trying to get to because...
Okay, fine, yeah. Fine.
It's the worst day to get a fucking dinner reservation.
The point of me mentioning this is that I think it is important to have months or things that are specifically geared toward a certain group of people because it does highlight things because we are still living in a very, very ignorant environment. Like the whole world is still super ignorant about stuff. I stay ignorant shit all the time.
Why do you think I said stupidity?
Yeah.
We have to remind our culture. But no, all cultures did this. Like even indigenous people, right? Like hundreds, thousands of years ago. What did they do? They had people, I forgot what they're called, but they had the people that told the stories. They kept the records of everything and they educated everyone. And that's kind of what this is. It's like, this is a month to reflect, educate, and remind ourselves of the importance of why we're doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can see all the chauvinistic shit, you want all the sexist stuff out of fun, good natured, and I love it. But like, at the end of the day, we wouldn't be here without women. We wouldn't be here without the women of our lives, our mothers, you know, and
we're all born of a woman.
We're all born from a woman, and we got to remind ourselves that. And it is a little sad that we have to remind ourselves, but I think it's not just out of ignorance. I think it could be also we're all so caught up in our own lives and the hustle and bustle that sometimes it's like we do need somewhat of a bookmark or reminder to say, hey, you know what? Stop and smell the roses.
It's funny that the two examples is Women's History Month and Mother's Day, which also relates to women. But what, like,
which Mother's Day does not fall in the month of March.
Yes, I know.
May?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason I know that is because that's also the same month as your mom's birthday. And I believe those two dates are about a week apart.
And then our wedding anniversary is a week after. Or no, it's like a couple days after, actually. It's
like, Mom, we just saw you. We get it. No, we love you. You know who you are. And you know what? We know who you are. So like I said before, you guys, please like, follow, subscribe, and share this. Look, there's people in your life that need to hear me speak. There's people in your life that maybe want to hear Steph speak. Or just look at her beautiful face. That's why I do video, so I can capitalize on your good looks. And that's why I'm hiding off the edge with the mic in front of mine. But I hope this was an enlightening episode for you guys this week. It had some good-natured fun. It was supposed to be a little more educational. If it was depressing for you guys, good. Because you know what? We need to wake the fuck up, people. We need to make smart choices. And sometimes being smart means you got to fucking, you know, everyone wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die. So you got to fucking put that work in. You know what I mean? Stop being lazy. Subscribe. All right. And until then, guys, we got next week. I didn't really make this announcement, but I will be producing the 209 ClickCast with Big MF Matt Freeman and Michael Sean himself. I'm excited. I'm not going to go into too much detail right now, but I just want to say I'm really happy that I got my side hustle kicking off a little more. This is going to be kind of a co-host thing, but mostly producing and just doing my little chips here and there, which I want to do. I kind of want to be behind the scenes. I want to see how I enjoy it. Should be good for me to get some more technical skills down, sharpen that sword a little bit. And then also just not have to be responsible with coming up with episode outlines. Because it's a bitch sometimes, man. Like, every week, you know, like scheduling guests. I don't have to do that. All I got to do is film, produce, edit, and record audio. I mean, that's, I can do that. You know, I can do all that. So big things are happening with the Stoop Kid. I'm excited. I'm going to be getting some more merch figured out later this year. I'm hoping I can get something maybe figured out by the summertime, because I was in the process last year of getting redesigns. There was some drama with Fiverr. I'm still experimenting with who I want to use. So if you got any good graphic design people out there that are into Illustrator or into doing vector art, please let me know who they are. Email me at stoopkidpod@gmail.com. That is a very valuable resource. And I don't care if they're expensive. I just want to find the right person. So hit me up. Thanks for tuning in. And until next week, guys, see you later.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Stoop Kid Podcast. Please subscribe and tune in next time for a whole new episode with a whole new experience.